This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. I'm bringing my power panel back for an important and often overlooked topic, getting healthy. Hey, do you exercise? Well, and if so, what kind of exercise are you getting? Well, my panel explains what they do. How long does it take to get results? And how does stress affect our health? Probably in a big way. How do you curb cravings? Well, my panel shares their routines and their challenges. You can learn a lot from them. Now, don't wait until there's a health scare to change. Lead a healthier life. This is my power panel, and hopefully these guys, I have to send them a big check every month to pay them to be here. And so they said, if the check continues, we'll show up. So thank God. Thank God you guys work for $5 and a bag of peanuts. I appreciate that. Greg Buckley, CEO of the 50-year-young Buckley's Personalized Auto Care, Wilmington, Delaware. That's where your good friend, the president, hangs out, right?
Yeah, good old Joe. He lives about like 4 miles from the house. That's as political as I'll be right now.
So. All right, very good. Thank you. All right. Brian Rocky Kelly. Now, I just found out how the Rocky thing fits in.
It's Irish.
Owner of Valley Automotive Electric, Covington, Washington, just the past chairman of Northwest Auto Care Alliance. Congratulations for helping make that merger happen, Brian. And I called him Rocky because we're going to talk about being healthy today. Okay, we're going to talk about being healthy. And he said he was up at 5 o'clock and he was at the gym punching. So he says he goes to a boxing gym. And so I immediately figured out Rocky's. Hey, a really neat piece of information. It's brand new today. I want to show you a brand new podcast we just released. It's from my friend Hunt Demarest. And many of you know that Hunt's a CPA with Parmelis. And his show is going to be called Business by the Numbers. And I know what's coming up. And this guy is all about helping you understand your financial statements, dig into certain expenses. And episode one released today. And so did episode two. Episode two is about financial statement common sense issues that you face all the time. And on episode one, I joined Hunt to talk about how exciting it was to have him in the Aftermarket Radio Network. So guys, let's help the industry understand that you got to get up each and every day bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but what you put in your body and the exercise that you do is so critically important. So I can't believe we're doing a little Jack LaLanne thing here, and I'm aging myself. Greg, you may know who that is. Brian, you may not know.
Yeah. I know.
An old TV exercise guy from years ago, but yeah, it's important to be healthy, eat right, exercise. Brian, I commend you for getting up early every morning.
If you don't do it, you'll feel it. You know, I just made a habit out of it over the years. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, I've always been an early morning guy. So 4:30 was just kind of a natural time. I went through periods where there was no workout. I can tell you the difference, you know, just health-wise between spending a decade plus not working out and spending the better part of half a decade really actively working out. And, you know, it's amazing the difference it makes in energy. It's different in the mental acuity. It's different in just being able to get things done and really having a consistency to you, you know. So I'm pretty excited to dive into this.
I know, Greg, you're a walker. I mean, you know, you're always showing your exploits on Facebook. Occasionally, Greg and I will talk on the weekend while he's out walking.
I think what Brian does, he's up early. Like myself, I'm up early. And I try to get in, you know, during the wintertime, maybe 12, 16 miles a week on a 4 mile trek, depending on weather. In the summertime, I can get up to maybe 24 because I can extend and go further. And then I get a little swimming in. And, you know, I'm trying to do a little bit more and more. And I also, I do take a few really pretty cool I call them supplements, but and that's, I guess, what they are. But the goal for me is to actually work from the inside out and focus on kind of like your blood. You know, I know, you know, for me, you know, taking care of the mitochondria and all the cells that you have and supplements that help that and healthy eating and all that stuff. I think is really, really important, because that keeps you healthy from the inside out, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Exercise is important. And for me, walking fits. I think that's one of the most important things that you have to realize about, you know, your body type, your size, how well conditioned you are or how unconditioned you are, and start with something that you can do routinely. You know, if it's getting up like Brian does, get up in the morning, go boxing. Hey, fine. That fits his style. For me, I like getting up, cup of coffee out the door, walk 4 miles, get my heart rate up, increase from that point on. So you have to really find what your niche is, what you're comfortable with. Make sure that you can make a routine out of it.
We're talking to owners, we're talking to service advisors, we're talking to techs. I don't think we've ever done a show to talk about, from your perspective, what do you do to keep your body in shape? And I don't want you to discount this episode. I don't want you to listen to it and say, oh, I'm done listening to it. They're going to talk about health. Stop. The older you get, the more you start feeling the effects of how you ate and how you exercised and how you behaved and how you drank, and put all of that stuff together. And there's a point, Greg, and I know for you, for sure, me too, the grandkids, you want to be around as long as you possibly want to be around. There's a point where you start saying, I got to take care of me.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, there comes a point when you realize that, hey, you know, I'm waking up with more aches and pains. Why is that? Am I slightly overweight or am I overweight? What are my morning habits? What are my evening habits? What am I putting into my body? And I think if you really take a look at yourself, you should be changing. I mean, I've noticed, and Patty too, we've cut down our food intake incredibly. I say over COVID, we both ballooned up because, you know, we just sat and ate and didn't do anything, and we were immobile, and it got us out of our habits. And now for just the two of us, you would look in our refrigerator and think that we're kind of like starving ourselves to get to death. But
the left vegetable drawer is full of kale, right?
Yeah. So, well, it's not far from it. I mean, we've got more healthier foods, but we even have less volume of food, which is something that is really different. You know, you got to get used to it. So
I don't know about you, Brian, but I find myself eating less. I mean, I used to always have a sandwich for lunch, and now it's a half. It may sound crazy, but when we go out to dinner, and I may take liberties and find some comfort food from the menu because we've been eating so good all week that I just want to have. And I find myself making sure I don't eat all the comfort food. Now, it may sound a little wasteful, but I may take it home and maybe have another meal out of it. I thought the calories would be wasted by eating it all, because some of these restaurants really pour it on. You have the same thing?
It's not even the portion size as much as what's in it. And, you know, I think back to, I was down in Key West about a month and a half ago, and I ordered some kind of a whitefish that they had. And, you know, I'm thinking, hey, whitefish, it's going to be healthy. And I mean, this thing was, it had more butter than it had fish. And when you start thinking about what's in your food, it's critical. You know, you have to pay attention to what you're eating and what it's going to do to you. Oh man, you talk about health. I was in the middle of a really nasty lawsuit. I had issues with a building that I was in. And, you know, I was just kind of in this wheel of chaos for a while, and wasn't working out, wasn't eating right, definitely drinking more than I should have. And remember going to the doctor, and this is probably 15 years ago now, go to the doctor, and every possible thing that was on my blood chart, there was an issue with. We think about how important it is to exercise, but I think it's the stress deal as well. You know, how do we deal with the stresses that we get every day? You know, my cholesterol, I was almost 2.5 times the limit that was going to be allowed, you know, to the point that they were, you're on medication. I mean, there was this list of things that they were going to do for me. And I remember looking at the doctor, and I said, hey doc, I'm going to tell you, I have not been taking care of myself at all. You know, I'm not doing anything. You know, why don't we come back to this in 6 months and talk about it again? Because obviously in 6 months, I'm not going to die, but I may, you know, if everything still stays here, we know we got a problem. And immediately did kind of what Greg talked about, start walking, you know, move from walking to running, and just started, you know, I think I was 225 at the time, which for me is pretty heavy. And, you know, I just started literally just starting to take care and looked a little bit at diet, started cutting out some of the, you know, the processed carbohydrates. And yeah, I see somebody's talking about high processed food. Yeah, I took a lot of that stuff out. And, you know, within 6 months, I had everything in what I would call a manageable level. A year later, I'd cut everything into half of what would be critical. And, you know, it's just been a downward trend ever since. But the key is you have to take care of yourself because, you know, and I think the first thing is you got to know where you are. And how many guys aren't even going to the doctor to get blood work?
What do you weigh now?
186 now.
Cool. 186, 187. That's not a bad number. Are you what, like 6 foot?
6 foot tall. 175 is what doctor tells me, but I don't think I'm getting there.
The wake up call, I don't care what age you are. Let me just pick, and I'm not a doctor, Greg, but 40 up, you better start going for blood work if you're not going for annual physicals, because things can creep up on you no matter what age you're at. Brian's point was he worked his number. He worked it without really telling the doctor you were going to work it. And then you went for your second test and you probably came out with flying colors. Now, Greg, are you going to an annual physical?
I haven't gotten to an annual yet. It's pretty much every other year. And I have blood work done. In fact, I just had two workups completed actually for insurance products, you know, but both came out with flying colors. I am one that does not eat salt or sugar, added salt, you know, stuff like that. So my blood work came out really great, a little higher on the cholesterol than I would have liked to. And I have a slightly elevated heart rate, you know, I've had all my life. So, I mean, I'm keeping myself, you know, conditioned well. I know my body well enough that when I do have an issue, I can tell you where it's from. It's the weirdest thing. If I eat anything high sugar, like a bowl of ice cream now, instantly I can feel my heart racing, and especially some of the sweeter pies, that kind of thing. High sugar, high fructose, man, it just sets me off like a rocket ship. So I know not to eat that, and I stay away, or I eat just a little bit of it. I don't know how I learned this or where I learned this from, but to control your eating when you're out to a restaurant, the mental block that you have, and Carm, you alluded to, he says, well, I don't want that food to go to waste. Well, the thing is that once you decide to buy it, it's yours. So you're not wasting your money. You take it home. I mean, I know people who actually order their food and tell the wait staff to bring a to-go box, and they cut it in half and they put it away. Well, I rarely eat the whole plate because it's just way too much, and I take it home and it's much more enjoyable. I'm not full. And to Ryan Tunison's point, I still will enjoy my cheesesteaks. I'm not giving up living to get on a diet. So Ryan, you know, I'm still making my cheesesteaks, and that's my Friday night treat. So, but it's important to get over the mental humps. And I've fought weight all my life. Growing up, I was up until fifth grade, I was the tallest kid, the biggest kid, and I weighed the most. And I think I may have weighed, I don't know, 165 when I was in fourth grade or something like that. And I was big. No, there's no question about it. And my weight now still 5'10", and I'm about 240. To me, that's a larger number, but I haven't gained exceptionally over that for the last, I don't know, 20 years. I've gone up 20 pounds. A lot of it is from lack of, you know, exercising, which is what, you know, I'm correcting. And you get a little weak in the diet and you go crazy on a couple of things. For me, this has been my comfort zone. I'm okay. I mean, I feel great. I can walk, I can run, I can swim. COVID has changed me. I still cannot smell. Going on a year now, what I smell is totally different than what you would expect to smell. And it's really with meats, cooked meats, grilled meats. There's a completely different taste. And that kind of pushes me away from eating too much to begin with.
So Carm, you said something interesting, and you mentioned the age 40 about blood work. And I'll tell you, I ran into my issue at age 33. So many of us as former technicians, we were up on our feet. We were moving front of the shop, back of the shop, under a car, up and down. And what do? Once we start to get comfortable in our business, we change our role. We either begin working on the front desk, or maybe we're working on the business a lot more. And that radical change was where it really got me. And that's, you know, early 30s, and you push that up 5 years. And next thing you know, you've put on weight, you're inactive. In many cases, you're working 12, 15 hours a day. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys I talk to that are at their desk for 10 plus hours a day. You want a walking health nightmare? That's what that is. When we look at our crowd, that's what we start to see.
Anybody ever do Atkins?
I remember going through the 2 weeks. I'm trying to remember exact how it was. 2 weeks by eating, I don't know, 20 grams or less of carbs. And it was the hardest thing for an Italian guy to do who loved his desserts to go through that. But it was amazing, to your point, Greg, I think on the sugar. When I got rid of my sugar cravings, I had energy. I mean, I wasn't even exercising at the time because I was still traveling for corporate America. Maybe I should have had better disciplines, but I had so much energy just because of the sugar thing. I don't know about you guys. Is sugar addicting to you?
Big time.
In fact, today I had a cup of coffee. I purchased a pack of coffee that had natural honey and vanilla, and natural vanilla, so mixed into the grinds. And I thought, oh, let's try something tasty. It was Starbucks. It was all natural. You know, nothing there. But as soon as I brewed it and I had a cup this morning, I went, oh my gosh. And I told Patty, I go, nah, I'm glad it was on the discount rack. And I think I gave it to my daughter.
How did it work for you? What did you do to get to this point, Greg?
I slowly weaned it out. I don't know. It's like smoking. I never smoked. I never even tried a cigarette. And it's just the mental thing of how much harm it can do, proven it can do harm. And it kind of gave me a negative, just this really bad thing, like, okay, it's not good for me. You know, it can lead to diabetes. Salt can do this, you know, and even alcohol. I mean, there's limits. And it made me stop. And like I said, even butter on corn. I don't eat butter on corn anymore. Butter's just a lot of fat. I switched to more olive oil. I cook with olive oil every day. Well, I went to the doctor. He said, you know, you might want to follow more of a Mediterranean diet, which is more greens, less solid proteins, or not as many, not less meat. Stick with more seafood or seafood. It works for me. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. And I don't want to take the, like, I'm not regimented to a degree where I'm living by the book on it. But it keeps in the back of your mind. And I've been through the Weight Watchers, and I don't know. I think I tried Atkins for maybe as long as you did. And you study these different things. But the problem is you get on a yo-yo. And I've seen a lot of shop owners that will do this. And there's a lot of groups. They get on these programs and, you know, the 75 hard and the, you know, 90 day, whatever it was. And all these things, they get you ramped up. And I'm not saying there's not a benefit to it, but man, how many people do you know in our lives that go this way and all of a sudden they crash? It's just like, you know, coming off of a sugar high. And then their body can't get back to, you know, a sensible situation. I mean, it's all about moderation. If you exercise, you can afford a couple more calories. If you don't exercise, then you have to cut back on the calories. I don't think it's hard science, or I don't think it's like, you know, it's hard to believe, but these are just simple things that you can do and should do.
Stress is a killer. I mean, you're so full of stress, you're driving by a fast food place and you want a triple-decker hamburger. Probably tastes great. It's fulfilling. It hits a craving thing in you. There's a comfort level, but it's not good for you.
One interesting thing, your body will produce cholesterol. It will do it on its own when you're highly stressed. The more stress you have, the more cholesterol you'll produce. And does it as like a pain reliever is what happens. And the only way I could ever find out of that scenario was to exercise out of it. You know, so force the stress out through the exercise and push yourself. And, you know, like Greg said, I mean, there's a reason I'm in the boxing gym in the morning. I like to eat. You know, I love food. And I don't drink soda pop. I don't drink coffee. Just not what I would call a high sugar person, but I love sugar. I mean, no question about it. If you throw some candies in my cupboard, I'm probably going to go chase them down and eat them. You know, it's best that they're not in the house. But I make an attempt to not do that. But I love food. So if I'm not in a highly active, whether it's running, whether, you know, I have to do something that's high cardio, because I just burn it off, you know, and that's a big deal for me.
All you need to do, everyone, is just to go through a health scare. And I did. I did 9.5 years ago. Had a heart issue. I was pretty close to not making it, and I didn't have open heart, but I had a stent or two put in, and it changes your life. And and the Mediterranean diet, Greg. That's all they talked to me about. And I had to be on the treadmill for 2 months worth of post operative stuff. It's too bad, guys, that you have to get near or have an issue for you to wake up. And I think it's important that we're talking about this stuff because we're not thinking about taking care of us and being there for our families.
If we talk about stress, there are very subtle ways that stress affects your body that you may not even realize it. I mean, for me, if I go through a period of stress, I actually break out in psoriasis. I've been to the doctor and, he asked me, well, what's your day's been like? And I go, well, they haven't been easy. And I think this is probably the heart of COVID when we were running, lean and guys in and out. And there was a period of, you're just stressed and maybe overtired, all that culmination of everything. And sure enough, I'd have these patches. So you have to be body aware. You really do have to look at your, and look at your skin. Your skin's what, the number one organ?
You got to be aware of what's going on. There are signals, guys, that trust me, they happen.
And I was talking to you, Carm, before we started, and I was talking about the fact that I haven't used an alarm clock in 20 years. This is one way that I listen to my body. So I am regimented between 4 and 4:30. I just wake up and I wake up, start my day. Now, if I'm not waking up at that time, there's absolutely no question in my mind something is going on. I'm either getting sick, I've pushed it too hard, maybe I'm stressed out, but there's absolutely no question that something isn't right. And if I need more sleep, I listen to it. I'm going to take 2 more hours, I'm going to take 3, whatever it's going to be, listen to what your body's doing. And if you have to push it, push it. But remember, it's going to affect you somewhere. And if you're not taking care of your diet, you're not taking care of exercise, it's going to multiply all the way through. And we were talking about diets, and you talked about the Atkins diet. And I've had a lot of friends using what's called the Whole30 recently. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that or not. It's similar to Atkins, only it's more of a, they call it a paleo, I guess, but it's meat and vegetables essentially, and potatoes. And you're cutting out all of the simple carbs out of your diet and the sugars. And in doing that, I've seen guys that are losing 15, 20 pounds in a month. And in good weight that doesn't come back on like that. We talked about sugar. If you want to break your addiction to sugar, try that Whole30 and go eat a piece of candy after you do it, because it will taste, you will not enjoy the taste. And everything that has sugar in it, you'll taste as well. It's pretty amazing what happens when you remove it completely from your body.
I don't know about you, Brian, but most of us, I find that I become most stressed when I fail to make a decision to move forward in something. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock before you're normally due, and that starts the cycle of fatigue. And then if you continue to let it fester, it becomes more severe. And then it seems once you make that decision, you're kind of like back to normal. You feel good. You're out walking, running, boxing, swimming, whatever, you get back in the routine. So that's the interesting part. Like I said, it is awareness of yourself.
Our life seems to be compact, compressed, focused, 90 miles an hour. If you have a day job, 9 to 5 and 8 to 4, it doesn't matter what it is. You bring a set of clothes. Maybe you walk for lunch. Maybe you go to the gym afterwards. It is, guys, nothing but self-discipline. You got to want to.
If you can't be comfortable being uncomfortable, you're not going to go far. And when I talk about that Whole30, when you talk about starting exercise, the minute you cut the sugars out, you'll have, we'll say 3 to 5 days, it's going to suck. You're going to have headaches. Your bowels are not going to, they're not going to know what to do. Your body's going to feel deprived. But somewhere between 5 and 6 days into it, it's almost like a switch turns on and your eyes open up and you've got energy that you didn't have before. That's that sugar addiction. And I would bet you that if you haven't ever weaned off of it, most people don't know what that feels like. And it's night and day, the difference, So
well, sugar, isn't sugar like more addictive than heroin? I mean, it literally is a drug that's natural, but your body just gets addicted to it where you have to have it. And getting off it is similar to what you're describing, Brian. There are certain foods that cause more inflammation than not, and you try to avoid them or minimize their use. So again, a lot of it comes down to, you know, just what you can eat. Sugar's bad, you know, not good at all.
And the other side of it, when you talk about that discomfort, exercise. I mean, the first time you're going to go walk 2 miles, you're going to feel it the next day. And your body's going to say, whoa, buddy, don't do this again. You know, that sucked. And then you're going to want to relax. But you have to force yourself past those things.
I love what I hear about your disciplines. Have you encouraged your team to exercise, to get out and walk?
Yeah, we've done Tough Mudders together. We flew the whole team to Vegas one time to go do a Tough Mudder together. We've done them local. I would say since COVID hit, it's been hard to put those things in place. And, you know, we still talk about it. We had a group of us that would run together, that would, you know, do other, a couple people would go to the gym together. We definitely, as a team, try to put into it.
You know, when I think, Greg and Brian, about what he just said about some team event, even if it's just walking, if it's going to one of these events where you climb through the trees, or you, even if you zip line or something like that, which ends up becoming exercise, yes. If we take our people to Vision, we close it down, we take them out for training, even if it's two or three, even if it's half the shop, when we go zip lining with half the shop one weekend and half the next, or make it a family event, but you're encouraging, and the message to your people is, look, we exercised. Maybe you can continue this on your own, because you know that a healthy body brings a healthy mind to work.
My son-in-law is a keto person. He's very disciplined with it, and he's done very well with it, and I'm surprised how disciplined he is. My son, he meal plans and he's held his weight well. He plays hockey afterwards. My nephew is constantly on the move, whether it's at work or at home. He's always doing projects. The guy, and he can eat anything and does. My two new techs, they're younger. They do eat poorly. They know it. And we're trying to get them back, or get them to understand that health is important. And my son-in-law is actually taking the lead on that, because he gets irritated when they walk in with all kinds of, you know, fast foods and unhealthy stuff. You know, so we try. I don't preach, because I know what it's like to be preached at when in regards to, you know, weight and health and all that stuff. But we kind of give subtle hints. We used to be able to go to a run, a 5K, which a local charity of ours, but because of COVID that had stopped for the last 2 years, we hope to have it back this year. But it was a team event, and surprisingly, we came out pretty good with it. Of course, I wasn't running. I was doing the walk. It's a lot of fun. So we try our best to keep up with that stuff.
A lot of it's just showing them what they do. You know, you talked about the 5K. You know, we've run a few of those as well. But to get them there to the event, it's team building. It's supporting each other. It's, I mean, you're doing everything you can to make sure you all finish. And whether that was at our Tough Mudders, the 5Ks, I think we've done a 10K. You show up as a team and you leave as a team. We've talked about poor eating habits, but what about the energy drinks? You know, those giant cans that they buy in 22 or 20, I mean, maybe 40 ounces now. I don't know. I know that the cans are enormous. How many of those are our employees drinking per day?
I've never had one. What's in them?
Caffeine and sugar.
The whole kitchen sink. I mean, it's a list. Yeah. I mean, you look at that and it's like taurine, gore. I mean, it's 18 different words and I'm going, right. You know that? I would call me crazy, but that just can't be, every single day, that can't be good for you.
The only natural ingredient in there was water.
it's one thing. It's one thing. Somebody's got a bad night and they get one of these. But I mean, I had guys that are bringing one or two a day. You know, take the cost out and just look at the product and what you're putting in your body. That can't be good for you.
Yeah.
Hours of sleep, guys. I want to ask about hours of sleep. Brian, you brought it up. I get about 6. But to your point, Brian, when I need more, my body tells me I need more. And so I listen to it. But I usually average 6. How about you, Greg?
I'm about 6.5, 7. I'll try to be in bed by 9, maybe earlier. And the alarm for me goes off at 4:45.
Greg, if you didn't have the alarm, would you still get up?
Yeah, I probably would. I started with it because I wanted to try to make the gym on time. So I think, well, let me get used to it. And I'm usually up before the alarm goes off. It's just one of them things, but that's my backup.
I know we didn't change the world, and none of us are qualified with an MD or a PhD after our names to say that we can tell people what to do. But I do know that our industry loves to listen to its peers and learn from each other. And that's what this was. And if I could grow up and be anything like Brian and Greg and how they do things, then that's what I want to do. Now, but Greg, there's one final thing that I have to ask you, and that would be, I know there's a lot of sugar in bourbon.
It's one of the purest things you can drink.
Okay, thank you. Great. Well, then I won't quit. That's all I wanted to know.
It's better than if you're going to have a drink. When you get those mixed drinks and cocktails and all that, there's a ton. The mixers are full of sugar. You know, wine does have sugar to it. It's a natural situation. With bourbon and stuff, I don't believe there is any sugar.
It's there before it ferments. It's a byproduct of the sugar.
I'm not stopping my life around a diet. I'm going to be healthy because I think that gives me a little bit of a mental health situation, you know? And let me profess, Ray, let me announce that you'll see me with a Friday cheers. That may be the only one or two drinks I have all week.
And on that piece, the question really begs, what are we doing for our mental piece as well, whether it's meditation, whether it's prayer, and for some, it might be that single cocktail, you know, but what do we do that just kind of brings you down? And for some, it's journaling. What do we do that decompresses that mind? And that's another just a key aspect because, you know, Greg, you mentioned this a few minutes ago, when you wake up at 2:30 in the morning, and when I was in the middle of, I mean, we can talk about this some other time, but I was in the middle of a 10-year lawsuit. And there were times I would wake up at 1:32 in the morning and I was completely awake. And the only way I could pull that stress back out was either prayer or just literally sitting down with my journal and just writing out what was happening, what I could do about it, and trying to find some solution, although there really wasn't one, and getting it all out to try and get back to sleep. That's that stress again.
That's a tough one right there. You know, you talk about keeping your devices on. When do you get off of your devices before you go to bed? I mean, there's timing and your body rhythm and light within the rooms. I mean, people go to sleep with their TVs on, with televisions on, or they're watching their devices. Those kind of things actually keep you stimulated longer so you don't get the restful sleep. And when you don't get that restful sleep, it can cascade into a poor eating habit, more stress, less sleep. Before you know it, you're pretty broken.
Actually, TV puts me to sleep, guys. And even though you may have science that says I'm actually awake while I'm sleeping, I don't think so. I want to give a plug to Brian. Thank you, Matt, for reminding us. Brian is presenting 2 days on communications and leadership up in the Great Northwest. It's coming soon. Throw in a plug for Brian. Well, I just did. And so tell us, you have a close group that you're working with, right?
I do. This is a pilot, but I would definitely, if anybody had interest, I'd say reach out to our Northwest Auto Care Alliance, and we can get you a seat. It's over in the Spokane area, 2 days, really leadership and communication. And that communication is how we speak with employees, how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to external customers as well, and how we situationally make decisions. And one of the things I do a lot differently is I look at things through an experiential model. So anything that we do comes down to working with a team back to presenting to the group. And, you know, it's activities, it's all things designed to jar your brain so that you're taking the information away. I'm not a big fan of, I'm going to talk to you. I might give information, but I want communication and I want development. And the only way I see that is if you do something. So I do things a little differently.
Maybe next month, this is what we need to talk about, because I'm going to have you back next month. We're going to bring the power panel back and we'll do something just as wonderful as today was. Greg Buckley, CEO of the 50-year-young Buckley's Auto Care, Wilmington, Delaware, and Brian Rocky Kelly, owner of Valley Automotive Electric, Covington, Washington. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you being here, man.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.